Come on down for the season finale of this year's Sheridan Farmer and Artisan Market in Whitney Commons Park. Bring the pickup, farm fresh vegetables, locally sourced meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding handcrafted items. One last time before the season ends, see the best our hardworking local producers have to offer while stocking the family pantry this Thursday from 5 to 7 at the Sheridan Farmer and Artisan Market in Whitney Commons Park. Sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. And please remember, leave your pets at home.
At Wyoming Rehab, our mission is to keep you moving, playing, and living life to the fullest. Our expert team at Wyoming Rehab specializes in physical, occupational, and speech therapy, offering personalized care that gets you back to the activities you enjoy most. Schedule a free screening with our team of kind and compassionate experts at Wyoming Rehab and leave with treatment recommendations. Call Wyoming Rehab at 307-674-1632 or visit SheridanHospital.org to learn more today.
The following message is presented by Century 21 BHJ, 101 South Main.
Want to take charge of your finances and build a better future? Join us for Financial Foundations, a free two-day course on October 1st and 2nd from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Johnson County Library, 171 North Adams Avenue in Buffalo. Learn the essentials of budgeting, saving, and credit in a welcoming space with snacks provided. Proudly sponsored by Charlie Cunningham with Concept Z and the Wyoming Housing Network. Register now at SheridanHabitat.org.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, September 10th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by Wyoming Game and Fish Department Public Information Specialist Christina Schmidt. Good morning and welcome back.
Good morning.
How was the vacation?
Excellent.
Fantastic. Excellent. Mine was pretty good, too. We were just having a word about it, talking about some history. How's the end of the summer going up there?
Oh my gosh, I'm hoping it's a long one.
Yeah, I'm
one of those that hopes for a nice long fall.
I mean,
my garden is just finally starting to like
really
produce
look good.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, please, a couple more weeks at least. But
yeah, I'm not looking forward to the winter this year.
I keep hearing it's supposed to be bad, but
really?
I mean, I hope not, but.
Well, before we get to the snow, let's begin with the AIS inspector training that's coming up September 29th. Who's this training designed for?
Folks may remember we do these in the spring every year. Reed Moore, our AIS specialist, aquatic invasive species specialist, puts these on for sure every spring, and we've had enough interest the past few years that sometimes there's an additional class in the fall. And what these classes are, it's an all-day class, and you learn how to inspect watercraft. So this allows you then to become a certified inspector, and you can inspect your own watercraft or other people's watercraft. And like I said, it is all day. It's a thorough class. They go, you know, there's classroom time where he's going over what are aquatic invasive species, what are all the different ones, how do they spread, how do they reproduce, why are they bad, what effects do they have, a lot of the biology end of things. And then there's also, of course, actual physical inspections. There's boats that we have that folks get to go out and learn, okay, here's where you check, here's how you do all of this. So it's a combination of classroom and hands-on activities, and really a lot of information. So it's meant for anyone, any member of the public who's interested in being able to inspect watercraft.
Does he kind of go through the gambit, not just animal life, but plants as well?
Absolutely. Yep. So when we say aquatic invasive species, I think most people have the really bad ones, the zebra and the quagga. You have those on your mind, but there's many others. And plants are a big one. So curly pond weed, for example. And you know, it's one of those that if you just have a little chunk of it on your boat and you move between water bodies, it happily goes with you and starts in a new place. So, yeah, it's not just the big ones we think about, but he goes over lots of different things and why, you know, it goes back to that clean, drain, dry. Like before you take you when you take your boat out of the water, make sure there's nothing else on it that you're transporting.
Now, what does this certification allow watercraft owners to actually do, especially when they're traveling to places like Montana's Tongue River Reservoir?
Yeah, that's so people that live near a border where they're traveling with their watercraft out of state a lot, like we have here, it's really beneficial because if you attend this class and get certified, it does allow you, like I said, to do your own watercraft inspection, and this will meet Montana's inspection before launch requirement. And of course, coming back into the state, you'll be able to inspect your own boat before launch as well. But want to clarify, you do still have to stop at open check stations. So a lot of people, and they'll go over that in the class for sure, that, you know, just because you've done an inspection, you've checked your boat, you can't drive past an open check station. You do still need to stop. They don't know that you have inspected. So what it does then is it lets you just get back on the road faster. So you do still need to stop at those open check stations. But it allows you to inspect your own watercraft. And of course, you know, regulations state any boat coming in to Wyoming from out of state must have an inspection prior to launching March 1st through November 30th. So, you know, keep in mind you, again, still need to do either stop at a check station or do your inspections. Yeah. So anyways, it's a great opportunity. It's free. There's no cost. You do need to register, though. We do have limited space. It will be held at the Game and Fish office on Monday, September 29th. Again, it will be all day, so 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. about. And there's a break for lunch, of course. But again, a lot of material covered, hands-on activities and exercises, looking at different boats and all the places you need to check just to be able to do a thorough inspection.
I think it's fantastic that there's so much interest in this, because this really tells me that residents here in Sheridan County and other counties are taking such an invested interest in AIS.
Mm-hmm.
Something that you and I go over thoroughly, I believe, every year, really trying to get the word out there, not just about check stations, but being able to kind of take care of your own watercraft and take those measures. And if people are wanting to learn even more, I think that's great.
Yeah, this, like I said, this is a great opportunity. Our AIS specialist has lots and lots of knowledge about this and makes it very interesting.
Love talking to that guy.
Yeah, he has a lot of knowledge about this. And like you said, it's not just zebra and quagga mussels, lots of other things. We do have, you know, certain aquatic invasive species in Wyoming, and we certainly don't want them moved around places. So it's not just stuff coming from out of state. You know, we are one of the few states that does not have zebra or quagga mussels documented, and we want to stay that way. But there are other things, like we said, curly pondweed, Asian clams, New Zealand mud snails, things
certain
like that.
Certain types of crayfish as well, right?
Yes, a rusty crayfish. So we do, and again, a lot of this class will be explaining, here's what these are, here's what they look like, here's how to identify them, here's where we know they are, here's where you... you know, we definitely don't want them moved. So even though we're trying to keep certain species from coming in from out of state, but there are unfortunately some established populations in the state that we don't want to move from where they currently are.
Well, and kind of getting off into the tulies just a little bit, one big thing that we've got an issue around here is the bullfrog problem.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go? I would just like to do a little follow-up with you on that. You and I have done a couple stories on that, talking about the infestation itself and asking the community to kind of ping locations if they hear them. Did you get a lot of feedback from that?
You know, we did. We did get one homeowner who called and believed that they might have bullfrogs on their property outside of the area where we know that they are established. So I believe they are going to go and do a look and see. We do rely on the public's help for that. So if you own property, if you're out working, if you're out recreating somewhere and you think you hear or see a bullfrog in an area, give us a call. Again, you're going to call the regional office and speak with our AIS specialist. Let him know where, when you heard. If you can get a picture, that's great.
Oh, yeah.
That information is really helpful because then he can say, okay, well, yeah, that's in a known area where we know that they are established, or it might be a new area and we definitely want to know that.
Those little buggers are expanding all the time. Now, back onto our AIS check station. Starting October 2nd, the Sheridan AIS check station will be reducing hours. What are those new hours, and what options do some of these operators who want to continue going into the water have after that date?
Yeah, so currently the check station, so this is across from the Game and Fish office at the Travel and Tourism Center up on 5th Street. It is currently operating 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. So, we try to accommodate people's travel and make sure it's easy for folks to stop. So currently it's open daily, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. And like you said, it's not going to start until October 2nd that those hours are going to change. And at that point, it's going to be 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday through Sunday. So hitting kind of that weekend traffic. But as I mentioned earlier, regulations state that any watercraft coming into Wyoming must be inspected prior to launching March 1st through November 30th. So again, if we have a nice long fall and boating traffic stays high, you are still going to need to search out that inspection. So what you can do if you're not traveling during the time of that open check station, call the regional office and set up an appointment, and we can have someone do an inspection at the office. We do need planning time ahead, so please call and make an appointment instead of just stopping by, because we may not have
An inspector on site.
Yeah, they may be out in the field, so it will take a little planning ahead on folks' part just to make sure they get that inspection done. Call the regional office. We'll set up a time and make sure it gets done. Or make sure you're going during those open hours starting October 2nd, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Let's look at the broader picture. Beyond Sheridan, how does the Game and Fish coordinate AIS prevention statewide?
Well, there are check stations throughout the state, mostly along the state borders. So you'll see them like down in Evanston, and we have them over in Newcastle. And so basically kind of the borders of the state are where most of them are located, trying to, get those inspections done as people enter the state. You and I talk about the Sheridan region, which covers most of Northeast Wyoming, but we have inspection stations. This is a big program.
Yeah.
It's a big effort, and we do have stations throughout the state.
Yeah, we had a run-in or a problem on the eastern side of the state. What was it, last year, maybe even 2 years ago now? They discovered something new. I can't remember what it was. I'd have to go back through my own records, but you guys put a check station right there. I want to say at that launch site to make sure that people are getting those inspections and getting the clean drain dry all done right there on the spot, just to kind of prevent that from spreading. I'll have to look that up. I'm sorry I even brought it up because I can't remember exactly what it was or where.
Well, we did have that over in the Newcastle area. So
there you go.
A few years ago, zebra mussels were documented in Pactola Reservoir, which is in South Dakota. But
it's
very,
on the other side of the state.
Yeah, but it's very, well, in South Dakota. So,
or in another state.
Yes,
so
but of course
here.
It's right there. Right there, and a lot of people do kind of make a circuit of different, they go fishing in different locations. So, yes, we did get a new check station established there in Newcastle. Just more vigilance, for sure.
Yeah.
Trying to, now that they're that close to
really,
our border.
Right outside the door.
You know?
They're right outside. They're not on the porch yet, but they're in the yard. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Wyoming Game and Fish Department right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Jewelry has a way of carrying stories through the generations waiting for the next chapter. September 18th through 20th, discover those stories at Legacy Diamond and Gems Vintage and Estate Jewelry Show. From delicate Victorian heirlooms to striking Art Deco and modern designs, each piece is as unique as the person who discovers it. For a personalized showing, RSVP by calling 672-9490 or visit Legacy Diamond and Gems at 11 North Main. Legacy Diamond and Gems, where every piece tells a story.
Suicide prevention starts with everyday heroes like you. Join the cause Saturday, September 13th at Whitney Commons for the Sheridan County Out of the Darkness Walk. Walk to fight suicide and raise awareness about mental health. Be part of the movement, turn hope into action, and create a culture that's smart about mental health issues. Register for the walk today at afsp.org/Sheridan County and walk out of darkness Saturday, September 13th in Whitney Commons Park.
Leaves crunching, kettles whistling, football helmets colliding, families chattering, the sounds of fall. Hearing loss can be a subtle thief, taking away these precious sounds and others that make our lives so rich. If you think you or a loved one may be struggling, please call our office to schedule your free hearing test and consultation. There is nothing to lose and everything to gain. Let the changing seasons encourage you to make a positive change for better hearing. Call 674-8920, on the web at ebahearing.com, or visit on Coffeen Avenue, right next to Sherwin-Williams.
You're invited to a Synergy Shop of Minions open house this Saturday from 11 to 2. Tour the units and see how you can make one your own. Customize yours for classic cars, workshop, storage, studios. Your unit, your imagination. Don't miss your chance to explore Sheridan's most flexible commercial space. That's Synergy Shop of Minions open house this Saturday, 11 to 2 at 72 East Ridge Road. Look for our ad on page 14 of this week's Country Bounty.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with Game and Fish Department Public Information Specialist, Christina Schmidt. It's here. Hunting season has finally arrived. Now, there are some leftover licenses. Always a big question on that. What's still available right now, and what should hunters know before they apply?
Yes, we get a lot of questions about leftover licenses this time of year and the past several weeks as well, people wanting to know what might still be out there for purchase. So a really nice thing is that those are all listed online and updated in real time. So you can go on to our website and look under the licenses and application link. And down there, you will be able to see a list of leftover licenses. And when you click on that, you can search by species and look statewide and see what's left. The caution that we always give folks. So what happens is there's an initial draw and people get licenses. After that, there are some left and there's a secondary draw where people can put in again, there's another draw. And after that, so when we say leftover licenses, it's what's left over after that secondary draw.
Leftover after the leftover.
Leftover after the leftover. So the caution is that, of course, the more sought after licenses go in kind of those first couple draws. What tend to be available, the caution that we give folks, is that a lot of licenses that are left over are in areas that either have limited or difficult public access. Or some of the licenses may actually be restricted to private land only. So look at those very carefully. So even, you know, you go on and you see what's available, take a look in the regulations at what the restrictions are for that license. So, for example, you know, in our area, we have a pronghorn. We have some licenses left. And folks would look and say, great, I could get a license. But if you read the restriction, it is for private land only. So not to discourage people from picking them up, but just do some work beforehand. So know, you know, if it's an area with difficult public access, do some research. If it's a license that's for private land only, try to secure a location to use that license before you purchase the license.
So almost kind of have the plan ready to go before you make the application. That way you know you can at least use it. You're not wasting money.
Exactly, exactly. It's you know, you don't want to buy a license and then go out and not have anywhere to use it. So do some research. Again, everything is online. You can look in real time and see how many are left and what hunt area and what type. But be aware that, you know, these are left over because they may have a little more difficult access or be private land only. So, you know, we do get a lot of questions about a landowner list. Mm. People will purchase a license and then come and say, we would like a list of private landowners accepting hunters. And we don't have that. So we do have tools online. If you go, there's the public access tab at the top of our page, and you can look and see opportunities for hunter management areas or walk-in areas. And there is a landowner assistance page. So this is where if there are any landowners that are able to accommodate some hunters, they will be on the landowner assistance page. So you can look there and it will show, you know, a person's name, and a contact and what hunt area it is. But they may also have restrictions. It may say, hey, you know, doe hunting only or archery hunting only or something like that. So
the landowner is allowed to give those caveats and say, this is the requirement on my property.
Yep. Again, hunter management areas, walk-in areas, and that landowner assistance page. I think it's a little lesser known tool that folks may not know about, but yes, there may be some caveats, and make sure that you are going to buy it. If someone says archery only, don't call them up and say, well, would you let me rifle, you know, respect the requests that are on there. And that can change during the year. So, you know, a landowner may have, you know, maybe booked out with hunters, but maybe some aren't able to come or, you know, something like that. So they may add their name. Or they may get booked up and they may remove their name. So it can be dynamic.
Mm-hmm. So if you checked last year and you didn't like what you saw, could be totally different this
year. Exactly. So that is a good tool to use. But again, we don't have, you know, a list of people looking for hunters. So it is something you'll need to take the initiative and try to figure out opportunities. We do have the Hunt Planner. That's another great tool.
Mm-hmm.
So that has its own spot on our website, and our biologists and game wardens, we started this several years ago, put together very detailed information about every hunt area in the state. So even if you hunt, say, deer over in the Black Hills, you can look that up, and there's information on the herd, harvest success rates, draw odds. Public access will be a big one. A lot of times there will be a note under public access saying, hey, this is really great public access. Or, hey, on a map, it looks like, you know, there may be a lot of public land in an area, but there's not a legally accessible option
to get
there.
It's like an island out there by itself.
So a lot of those kinds of details that would really help folks out. So it's a great tool.
Now, just a real quick question. The carcasses this year. Are we going to have the dumpsters kind of around the state that you know of? I mean, are they out there yet?
They are not out there yet, but you are correct. We have had those, and we'll talk more about chronic wasting disease probably in October. We'll talk more hunting stuff, but yes, right around October 1st, so the one we've had in place the past few years is on Highway 14 between Dayton and Ranchester, the historical marker pullout there. YDOT has graciously given us a temporary use permit the past few years, and I am hoping that'll be in place again this year by around October 1st.
Okay. And so I'm just jumping the gun a little bit then.
Yes. We're hoping that'll be in place by the 1st of October, and KC as well. So that's a new one. West of KC on the highway, we had one last year. That was the first year, so this will just be the second year for that one. But in general, anyone looking for where to dispose of carcasses can get on our website under the chronic wasting disease page. There's a list statewide of places where you can take carcasses, either dumpsters or approved landfills. Here in Sheridan, we're really lucky. The Sheridan landfill during the hunting season does accept carcasses for free. So, really a great opportunity there. So there's no cost. I believe some of the other landfills do charge, but like I think over in Gillette, if my understanding correctly, they get, you know, one free load a month to take to the dump, and
most people make that.
And they've said, you know, you can include a carcass. Carcass disposal rules do require that, you know, if you harvest an animal, once you've removed all the legally required pieces of meat from that animal, you can leave the carcass at the site of the kill. But if you remove that carcass to take home to process or anything like that, it does have to then be put into a landfill. You can't go dump it on the side of the road or out on state land or anything like that. That is not a legal way to dispose of the carcass. And again, certainly here in Sheridan, they'll take it for free at the landfill. So just go up there or seek out one of these dumpsters, one of these other options. And that's just helping potentially limit the spread of chronic wasting disease.
I've run out of time with you, but there is one more thing I would like you to just touch on, and just give us the number. If someone witnesses a suspected violation in the field, what should we do?
Be a good witness. First off, write everything down. If you see something that you think may be illegal, pass that information on to a game warden. Of course, they're going to be in the field a lot. So the best option is to call the Stop Poaching Hotline, which is 877-WGFD-TIP. And that operates 24 hours a day. They'll get your information, the information that you gathered, you know, what you saw, what time you saw it, where it was, a license plate, a vehicle description is really great. Anything that you see that you just don't think is right, if you call that Stop Poaching Hotline, they will take that information and get it to the closest game warden who can respond or give you a call back and get more information.
Christina, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day. And I know you are in your busy season. So honestly, thank you for coming in and speaking with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the organizers of the Energy Capital Startup Challenge. Stick with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Looking for a home you can afford right here in Sheridan? This fall, the Sheridan County Housing Land Trust will have beautiful new construction homes for sale starting at just $231,500. Each single-family home features 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, a garage, and is located in a welcoming, upcoming neighborhood. But at these prices, they'll go fast. Call 307-672-3848, extension 4, or visit SheridanHLT.org to get started. The Sheridan County Housing Land Trust, turning dreams of homeownership into reality.
It's our annual customer appreciation event, and it's all about you, our valued customer. Come in and register to win high-value prizes. Many of these, one winner per store. This Saturday, enjoy free brats, chips, cookies, and soft drinks at all Shipton's Big R store locations. Our 16-page flyer is in your mailbox, loaded with terrific savings from every department. Register to win a $500 shopping spree, one to be given away at each store. Register to win Dan Post Ostrich Boots, a Cub Cadet zero-turn mower, $3,200 value, and a Blackstone griddle worth $350. More prizes include a $1,000 Kodiak gun safe, Husqvarna and steel chainsaws, a LEM meat grinder, $600 value, a Rapid Track snowblower from Aaron's worth $2,000, and a Greenworks 80-volt go-kart worth $2,500. And there are many other prizes to be given away during the Customer Appreciation and Celebration going on right now at Shifton's Big R on Sugarland Drive in Sheridan.
Mossholder's Design Center is here to help you create a space that you'll love. If you're relocating, remodeling, or just refreshing your home, Mossholder's talented design team can help you through the process. With free in-home consultations, Mossholder's will be able to find the furniture and finishing touches that work best with your space, your lifestyle, and your budget. So if you want to change the look of just one room or furnish an entire home, Mossholder's designers can get it done. Mossholder's, furniture is our passion.
Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors was born and built right here in Sheridan, Wyoming. And this time of year, the temperatures aren't the only thing rising. So are the out-of-town roofers. You know, the ones with wrapped trucks claiming they're local. They knock on your door, drop an area code, then give you 3 days to come up with your deductible. Brandon 307 has been on these rooftops for years, installing impact-resistant shingles, metal roofing, and keeping homes Wyoming tough. Go with the name you know. Call Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors for your inspection or visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I am joined by the CFO for Success consultant for the Energy Capital Startup Challenge, Scott Rendall, founder of the Connect Speech Therapy and 2018 Sheridan Startup Challenge winner, Chelsea Paulus, and founder of 10 Gallon and 2024 Energy Startup Challenge winner, Nathan Roma. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Floyd.
Chelsea, do we have you out there?
Hi, yes. Good morning.
How are you? And of course, Mr. Roma, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Good to see you.
Fantastic. I'm glad you had the time to come in this morning. Scott, let's start with you. For those hearing about it for the first time, what is the Energy Startup Challenge and why was it created?
So the Energy Capital Startup Challenge was a great addition to a number of startup challenges that were happening across the state. It first happened in 2023. And it is designed to identify entrepreneurs that are either startup or early stage that have a business idea that they want to put forth in a competition. And so the Energy Capital Challenge is designed to do just that. As you go through the competition, the best plans get reviewed by a judge panel. There's a public pitch event, and the winners of the public pitch event, there's three winners, will each receive a portion of a $50,000 seed fund.
Now, Scott, let's be candid for a minute. You and I, we've talked about this startup challenge for a number of years.
We have.
Ron's been covering it for I don't know how long. People know this. This is the same great program. It's just kind of switched a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So we no longer have a challenge based in Sheridan, but we are very fortunate to have Gillette and Campbell County, including Sheridan, Johnson County, in the startup challenge, as well as the Northeastern County. So there's five altogether. And Sheridan applicants are encouraged to, if they have a great business idea that they want to put forth, to go ahead and apply.
Now, how did Energy Capital Economic Development step in to bring this opportunity kind of back to life?
So there was an EDA grant that had expanded our Startup Challenge support and our advising to that area. And the Energy Capital Economic Development Group took that as the sponsoring entity and said, hey, we're going to do a startup challenge in our area. And it's despite some changes at the statewide level, the challenge continues to thrive in that particular locale. And Energy Capital gets behind it and, you know, helps raise some good money for it, puts on the program, and provides the counseling that is needed to get these entrepreneurs the support they need throughout the year.
Which is something that you and I are going to touch on here in just a moment, because I think that's probably one of the biggest advantages to this program. Even if you're not a winner, you still get so many different things, even just by applying. So who's eligible to apply this year? And what does the application process look like for an entrepreneur who may just have an idea?
There's three elements of eligibility. One is if you're just at the idea stage. So you're pre-venture stage, which means you've got something that's been noodling around and you just haven't acted on it. And you've decided, hey, with this challenge and the potential for getting some seed funding, I'm going to go ahead and put my idea forward. And then there's those that have a business, but they just haven't started attracting customers and generating revenue yet. So we call that the pre-revenue stage. And so this is another opportunity for them to kind of get going and, you know, get their business launched. And then the third stage or this third element is if you have a very early stage company that's not quite standing on its feet yet, but has up to $150,000 in annual revenue, we say, go ahead and apply. You know, it's going to be a little bit different in terms of the evaluation criteria for an established business that's, you know, getting some revenue versus a pure startup. But if they have a great idea that will get them to $500,000 or $1 million in sales, you know, to turbocharge their growth, we're saying go ahead and apply to the challenge.
So the engine can be built. You just need to throw the turbo on.
Exactly, exactly. That you just kind of have, you know, put your foot on the gas.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, what is the application process look like? Filling out a form, things like that?
Yeah, so at energycapitaled.com, under programs, there is a link to the Energy Capital Startup Challenge. And the application is just a pretty, you know, straightforward and simple process. It basically says, describe your business idea, the customer or target market that you're after, and then how is your idea unique in terms of, you know, competitors or alternatives? How can you, you know, kind of stand out once you get your business launched? And then have you discussed your idea with others? I mean, that's a pretty key part. Because a lot of people have great ideas, but they haven't really discussed with others that say, yeah, there is a valid idea to go after. And so we would like to make sure there's some kind of validation process that kind of indicates that what they have is legitimate and could attract a market, especially if the seed funding comes forward.
You know, as a writer, they tell you if you're going to write a book, be able to sell it in about a minute. With business owners, or entrepreneurs, people who want to go forward, they usually say, give me the elevator pitch, right? That's anywhere from a minute, maybe even 2 minutes. So if you can encompass your idea into that 2 minutes.
In the application, we intentionally don't ask for financial projections. That will come in terms of the judging rounds. You'll have to have more of a business model, a business plan that kind of explains your revenue, your cost structure, your growth plans. But the initial application just describes the idea and then why the idea is going to win relative to competitors or alternatives. And it, has the idea been validated with discussions in the potential customers or people that say, yeah, oh yeah, this is something that could definitely catch on.
Now, beyond what resources like coaching or mentoring are available to help applicants kind of strengthen that?
Yeah, so everyone that applies will be contacted for additional help, either through the challenge process or through the Business Resource Network statewide. So, for example, the Small Business Development Center ends up working with a lot of the businesses that you know, have the desire to go forward, but maybe they're not going to progress in the challenge. But they will continue working with businesses on an ongoing basis. Specific to the challenge process, we will help folks with the application itself. We will help them as they put together their follow-on meetings with the judges. We will help them sharpen their pitch process with professional help in terms of presentations and professional slide graphics and so on. So there's a number of things that we can put into motion. We just need to know who they are, and we identify who those potential entrepreneurs are.
Now, let's talk incentives. What's at stake for winners in terms of funding and long-term support?
Yeah, so the seed fund for the Energy Capital Challenge is $50,000. You will go through the process. There will be five finalists that pitch for a portion of the funding. And so the pitch night will be in mid-November. Actually, it's November 11th. Let me be specific on that. and so out of that process, five pitches, the judge panel will deliberate on the pitches. They will select three winners. And then the three winners identified on pitch night will each receive $5,000 right off the bat. And then the balance of the seed fund will be in a revisiting of everyone's progress and the business plans about 6 to 8 weeks from the pitch night. It's probably, you know, mid to late January.
Just kind of see how far along everybody's gotten.
Yeah, because just winning, we want to make sure that the entrepreneurs that win are going to continue to work on their plan. And so the judges will evaluate, are they serious about really going forward and putting that money to good use? And then what follow-on money is available? So Nathan was a winner of the a Kickstart grant from the Wyoming Business Council as a result of winning the Energy Capital Startup Challenge last year. So he was able to take his funding from the Startup Challenge and the Kickstart program. He can talk to it more specifically, but you know, got another pretty significant infusion of capital just for winning the Energy Capital Challenge.
Now, real quick, before we get on, let's talk about logistics. When is the deadline, and how do people go ahead and throw their hat in that ring?
So the deadline is coming up. It's on September 22nd. And so I would encourage anyone that thinks they might have something that they want to put forward in an application to get going on it right away. You can call 307-306-8607. We'll give you an opportunity to get coaching and support for filling out the application if you need it. But basically, it's about 12 days from now. And, you know, that given that not a lot of information is asked for in the initial application, that's something that could be accomplished in that time frame. But we want people to get going on it right away.
Oh, yeah. Time to get in the car before you get that turbo.
Exactly.
Chelsea, you went back in 2018 with Connect Speech Therapy. Real quick, looking back, how did that experience actually shape the way that you built your business?
Oh, it was a huge influence because I had, like you're talking about, the coaching support. So I had this idea and kind of this little side business, but the support from the judges with the competition, but also individuals in the community really helped me kind of grow the idea and turn it into something that I could do full time. And then, of course, the seed fund helped too. So then I was able to start the business debt-free and grow so that it wasn't just something I was doing out of my car anymore.
Boy, that's a statement, right? Start my business debt-free. How many people can actually say that? What part of the challenge really prepared you most for the realities of launching and sustaining a company right here in Sheridan?
The coaching really helped me think about a business plan, not just what was happening that day or that week, but what could it look like in the next 6 months, the next year, the next 5 years. And that was so huge because my business uses a hybrid model. We do a lot of virtual work. And so when I won in 2018 and I had started to think about that more long term, and then we had COVID hit and everything went virtual. It was like, wow, how incredible that I had that coaching and that longer term vision right when the whole world kind of went virtual.
Yeah, you were already, I'm not going to say prepared because I don't think any of us were, but you at least had a good backup plan, right? You were set to go.
Yes.
Well, that's fantastic. Definitely. For people on the fence, maybe they're out there thinking, you know,
is it good enough? Is my idea good enough to do this? What would be your best piece of advice for them?
Yeah, I think you have nothing to lose if you have an idea. The application is very simple. It doesn't take a lot of time. I mean, I'm not encouraging you to wait until the last day, but I didn't apply until the night before the deadline. And if nothing else, you make a few connections in the community and you have people that can give you some advice, you know, so I would just give it a go if you think you have a good idea.
And I think that's a fantastic point. You know, you're getting into something where there are like-minded individuals who have big dreams, and you have coaches, you have individuals who can mentor you through a lot of these different things. If anything, what a fantastic networking opportunity. And you're still going to gain something, even if you're not the big winner at the end. You're still gaining. Now, Nathan, switching over to you, partner, you're fresh off of the 2024 competition. What was it like to step onto that stage and really pitch 10 Gallon?
You know, that was my first pitch, first time doing a competition like that. And I was still, and I'm still super early in the growth of this company. And to be able to pitch that for us was like, it was fun. Like, I'm not afraid to go out and speak in front of people, but I was like, I've never spoken and pitched like a business plan or pitched a vision. Like, everything's always been in my head. So I'm like, how do I get this out and get people on these judges and everybody else in the audience on the same vision, the business plan, and tell
articulating
them,
that yes, idea,
and like tell people, get them to see what I see.
Mm-hmm.
That was something new for me, and to be able to elaborate on that, but also get into a concise form, because I only have 15-20 minutes to pitch it.
Oh yeah,
it's like I could go on for an hour or two if I really wanted to, but by then everybody's gonna be asleep.
Now, every entrepreneur has a different strategy. What were the keys, do you think, to your success coming out on top of that? Because like you said, you know, there's a lot of people out there who's agreeing with you right now. They're saying, I don't make pitches. I'm an inventor. I don't talk well to people. What did you do to really sell it?
Yeah, well, one of the biggest things is we're an indoor farm. So, I mean, if I go on and apply for state tax stuff and whatnot, we're still under agriculture and crop production. But what isn't underlined in there is that we're able to do things year round. We're fully indoors using LED lighting as the driver of photosynthesis for all the plants and other leafy greens that we grow within the farm. So that's a big separator from us, where in areas like Wyoming or places like Upper Midwest, the rest of the Rocky Mountain region, where our growing season doesn't really match up with say schools or places like that where a lot of food goes to, or they're often underserved. There's a lot of food scarcity or food insecurity in these areas, but it's like, well, during the summers we can grow a lot. Okay, that's for 3 months out of the year. There's still 9 months out of the year that everybody still needs food in some capacity, and all of it's coming from California and Arizona, which is coming thousands of miles already. So by the time it gets here, it only has so long a shelf life, lots of nutrients. So now we can deliver that year-round within a couple of days of harvest.
So that was really kind of the selling point, is you're saving time, you're saving money.
Exactly.
I can do it year-round.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, tell us about 10 Gallon itself. What problem, is that the problem that you were really solving, is just the food scarcity in the area? Is that what you really kind of used as your wedge through the door?
Yeah. And that's been something big for me, because I want to be able to solve a problem within this world. And it's like one of the three basic needs of humans, of water, food, and shelter. It doesn't matter if you have $1 billion to name or you have $2 to your name. If you don't have any of those, none of that matters. So it's like, how can we make a real impact? And now I went out and found this problem of, I recognized the problem that, hey, a lot of these places are getting underserved with food, even if it's something as minimal or as specific as leafy greens or things like that. A lot of these places like schools where all of our children are going to, it's like, you want to make sure when you send your kid off to school that they're going to get healthy food, they're going to get their nutrients that they need. And then all as well on top of that, learning the things to help them succeed in the world. So So it's like, if they don't have the food, they're not going to be able to succeed. So we want to be able to solve that problem of being able to provide food year-round whenever you need it.
You need those pillars to hold the whole thing up.
Exactly.
And you're supplying one of the pillars.
Yeah.
I mean, that is absolutely critical. Now, I'm kind of running out of time. So, Scott, let's come back to you one more time.
Uh-huh.
For those individuals who are finally saying, you know what? No, I'm going to do it this year. How do I apply?
So go to energycapitaled.com. There is a, on the bar up top, there is a list of programs, and you hit that drop down. There is Energy Capital Startup Challenge. It will give you all of the information on the application, the rules and regulations, the deadlines, and so on. And like I said, the application is really pretty straightforward. It's not going to take a lot of time, but the more you can prepare sort of your thought process around what your unique, innovative idea is that has the potential for growth in our area and beyond, that will give you a much better evaluation in the judge review that will happen right after the application deadline of September 22nd.
I want to thank all of you so much for taking the time out of your bustling, busy businesses to come in and speak with us about this fantastic opportunity. And folks, this year's the year. This year is the year for you. You got to take this challenge, jump online, apply now. Thank you.
Thanks, Floyd.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Back in the days when Sheridan was a frontier town, folks gathered where good food, strong spirits, and fine company met. That spirit lives on at Frackleton's Fine Food and Spirits. Step through our doors on Main Street and you'll find more than a meal. You'll find a taste of Western history, crafted with care and served with the warmth of true Wyoming hospitality. Whether you're raising a glass or savoring a plate, every moment is where history meets unforgettable flavor. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan. You've heard that legendary voice. Now see him live. Dan Tominski brings his blazing band to the YO Theater Saturday, September 20th at 7 p.m. The voice behind the Soggy Bottom Boys, lighting up the stage in Sheridan for one night only. Grab your friends, grab your seats, and get ready to holler for more. Dan Tominski, Saturday, September 20th, 7 p.m., YO Theater.
Hi, this is Brad at Primate Motors, and let me tell you, partnering with Sheridan Media and the Country Bounty has delivered proven results time and time again. Our Sheridan Media guy keeps our message fresh, and his reliable customer service means we're never left hanging. If you're looking to move inventory or grow your brand, I say saddle up with the best, Sheridan Media Radio and the Country Bounty. The proof's in the pavement, and that's the results you can haul to the bank.
The following message is presented by Century 21 BHJ, 101 South Main.
Sheridan and Johnson Counties, join us for Constitution Day 2025. Celebrate America's founding document on Wednesday, September 17th at 6:30 p.m. in the Sheridan High School Auditorium. Come hear from Sheridan High School's award-winning We the People students and former Wyoming Chief Justice Marilyn Kite as they bring the Constitution to life. This community event is free and open to the public. That's Constitution Day, September 17th, 6:30 p.m. at Sheridan High School.